various ways. It may be in a business venture. It may be in the stock market. It might be in a mutual fund. It could be in CDs, depending on your level of willingness to take risks and that sort of things. You invest your money in different ways. And today we see a lot of people with interest in the stock market with all the apps and all the ability to do things on computers. A lot of people who maybe years ago might not even have paid attention now sit down at their computer and they'll do things and try to follow along and invest in things along the way. And you know, if you're involved in the market, it can be a risky thing. You know that you can potentially make a good bit, you can potentially lose a good bit. And I'm afraid that we're at a time in our economy where the bubble's going to bust at some point. The bubble's going to bust, and we're going to see things go down rapidly. But even if that doesn't happen, you still know that there's risk involved if you're doing that. It can be a high-risk, high-reward venture. Now, this morning, I want to talk about something that we can invest in, something that we can invest. We can invest our time. You see, we spend a lot of time doing things that bring about short return, like working to gain an extra dollar so that we can have the next best thing of this or that or whatever it is. And granted, we do have some short-term needs. Like, I'm looking around the room, most of us are probably in the habit of eating. That's something, you know, we kind of have to have income for that, paying our bills, that kind of thing. But I'm talking about long-term investing. Have you ever thought about long-term investing? I mean really long-term investing. Not just the golden years. I'm talking about eternity. Eternity is a long time, and how you invest your time and energy now will directly impact your eternity. In comparison to eternity, this life is short. If we could have somehow illustrated an infinite line that ran both directions here and went out of sight, and we couldn't see either end of that line, our life would be just a dot on that line compared to eternity. So the reality is we spend a lot of time investing in a dot when we should be investing in eternity. So I want us to take a look at what Jesus had to say about investing our time in earthly pursuits versus investing our time in heavenly pursuits in eternity. So Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the privilege of being in your house today, this opportunity once again to study your word. God, I thank you for your people who faithfully come and want to hear your word and to hear from you. God, I know that you will not disappoint if our hearts are open to you today. God, I pray that I might decrease, that you might increase. May your truth be spoken here. It's in your precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to look at four clues to proper investing. Four clues to proper investing. Clue number one: no investment in earthly treasure will last forever. No investment in earthly treasure will last forever. Now, in verse 19, Jesus gives us some very clear and sound advice. He says that we shouldn't try to store up for ourselves or to set aside things for ourselves here on earth. All that we have here on earth is subject to decay. All that we have here on earth is potentially subject to being stolen. I have yet to purchase anything that couldn't decay or be stolen. Yet many times we spend inordinate amounts of time trying to gain these things that really only last for a short time. Clothes were something that the wealthy had back in Jesus' day. They would weave golden threads into their clothing as a sign of their wealth. Wool was considered an article of clothing, a material of clothing that only the wealthy had. So when he speaks to the reality of moths eating up the wool, they understood that. I don't know about you, but I've seen clothes that moth has gotten into. It's not a pretty sight. Now, I got to be honest, I think I prefer moths eating clothes over the smell of mothballs. I'm just saying. I remember my grandmother had this closet, and man, just walking by it, you didn't even have to open the door. You could smell the mothballs in there. I'll replace the outfit, not mothballs. No, thank you. But anyway, we recognize the fact that things can be stolen. We're fortunate that we live in an area where that kind of thing is not as rampant as it is in larger urban or suburban areas, but there's still thieves that live in this area. There's still people that will take things from you. Some of you may have had things stolen out of your yard or out of your house. When we were much younger, when Haley was young, we had somebody break into our house while we were gone. That is a very frustrating and violating sort of feeling to have somebody come into your house when you're not there unannounced and unwelcome. These people lived in a time where they didn't lock their doors if they even had doors. Okay, so their stuff, people could walk in and take things that they valued, and those trinkets, those things that were important to them, they could go away. And we know that we live in a society where too many people will steal from others. I remember when I was a teenager how materialistic I could be sometimes and wanted clothes that had certain logos on them or things of that sort. And I didn't grow up in a family who could afford clothes with certain logos on them. But I still wanted those things. And I remember I never had a fancy car growing up when I was blessed to be able to have a car. You know, I look back now, sure, at that point I wasn't as grateful as I should have been. But when I turned 16, my mother gave me her hand-me-down car. It was a 1972 LTD. It was commissioned by the Navy in event of war. It was a land yacht. It was a tank. It was a tank, and it was yellow with a brown vinyl top. It was beautiful. But I was rescued a year later when my dad updated his car, so I went from that boat to a 1978 Toyota Corolla. Now, for me, that was a dramatic improvement. It wasn't a fancy car, but man, I liked that a whole lot better than that bus that I was driving previous to that. And I had a decent little sound system in it, you know, in that little small car. Now, just to kind of give you the picture, vinyl seats, vinyl floor, vinyl everything, four-speed. It had a 1.2-liter engine. Okay, if you were downhill, downwind, you might touch 70. And it had an air conditioner that, if there were two of you in the hot summers in Augusta, you probably would not cool off. It would do okay with one. So it was not a fancy car. But some point along the way, I had it painted because it was fading, and I had spent some of my money to have it painted. And I remember being at the golf course where I had my car parked, and I come back from playing around to golf, and somebody had opened their door into my car, and there's a ding in my door. And I mean, I hadn't had it painted a week. I was livid, unhappy. I wanted to pound somebody right then. And I think pretty sure it had been justifiable. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. But I look back at that now and I think how wrapped up we get in stuff and how wrapped up I was in stuff. My truck gets dinged now. You know, it's God's. I'm just a steward of it. I'm not going to stress out of it. Not going to enjoy it, being honest, but can't be possessive of those things. But I'm afraid there are too many within the life of the church that spend a lot more time trying to earn money to gain toys and the things of this life rather than spending time with God, rather than investing in a future with Him. Jesus made it clear in this verse that we shouldn't work so hard to invest in things that won't last. That doesn't mean that we don't save. That doesn't mean that we don't prepare for the future. It doesn't mean that it's not right as a believer to have a good work ethic. But that we should never excuse work ethic for being a workaholic and mistreating our family because we're never there. And when we are there, we aren't there because we're worn out from what we were doing. We shouldn't become so miserly with things that we overlook the needs of those around us. I'd love to be able to give to help out with that cause, but I'm saving for my future. Well, it sounds like on the one hand, you might be able to justify in your mind, well, I'm just saving for the future. But on the other hand, God put that need in front of you for a reason. And he expects you to be faithful with what he's entrusted to you. Pray that God would help you realize that you don't have to keep up with the Joneses. We don't have to have everything that the world says we need or the world says that we deserve. If we truly got what we deserve, we'd spend our eternity in hell. We have grace. Indeed, as we sang, we have amazing grace, and we can be grateful for that. I pray that God would help us have less interest in the things of this world and be more interested in things that last for eternity. So the first clue that we see here is that no investment in earthly treasure will last forever. Clue number two, investing in heaven will store up treasures for eternity. Investing in heaven will store up treasures for eternity. Now we need to pay close attention to the insight that we learn in verses 20 and 21. Jesus tells us that we should store up or set aside treasures for heaven. You see, heaven is eternal. Our life is a dot. What we store up in heaven will be with us for eternity. That's a great, great promise. The great thing about storing up in treasures in heaven is they'll never become old to us. They'll never lose their excitement. They will always be exciting and new. Heaven's treasures can only be stored up by doing things that honor and please God. When we do good works, we honor God. We store up treasures in heaven. When we minister to someone in need in the name of Christ, we store up treasures in heaven. When we have the privilege of leading someone else to Christ, we store up treasures in heaven. When we are there just to hold the hand of someone going through a difficult time, we're storing up treasures in heaven. One of my favorite stories, and I know I've shared it before, is from the life of Beethoven. As you know, Beethoven, the composer, couldn't hear. When he heard about the loss of a friend who lost his son, Beethoven went over his house. When he opened the door, he didn't say a word. He walked in, he sat down at the piano and began to play for about 30 minutes. And then when he was done playing, he got up and left, never said a word. And his friend commented on how much that meant to him, that he was there and expressing himself and his grief and sorrow for his loss in that way. Being there for your brothers and sisters in Christ, that's storing up treasures in heaven. There's something else we should know about storing up treasures. Whenever you store up treasure, store up treasure, is where your heart is. You see, whatever you pour yourself into is where your heart really is. Now, if our heart is in heaven, okay, there are practical things in life we have to do, okay? I'm not saying everybody ought to quit work. Don't do that. But what I am saying is even the work that we do, we should do to glorify God. That's not my opinion. That's what the Word of God says. Do all that you do for the glory of God. And we can do those things to glorify God. So the way that we treat our coworkers, the way that we treat our employees, whatever the case may be, we need to do what we do to bring God glory. But we need to be working to store up treasures in heaven, and we need to be obedient to God as He pours into our lives and reminds us of how to handle things. And listen when he prompts us to do something. How many ever saw the video, A Man Called Norman? I'm just curious. A Man Called Norman. There's a few hands that went up around the room. It was out a number of years ago now. I don't remember what year it was recorded, but just in my mind, thinking about the clothing and stuff in the video, it was probably early 90s, maybe even before that. Probably late 80s. And a guy who's in that video who tells that story, a true story, about his interaction with a man called Norman is Mike Adkins. Well, there's another video he did that is not nearly as popular called Seeds for the Harvest. Now, I don't agree necessarily with all the theology of some of what would be there, but the main point of the video and the main point of what he experienced in his life, I think, is a very real reminder that we need to listen to God. Well, he had an old truck. It wasn't a fancy truck, just an old truck, and there was a handyman that had been helping him, and God put it on his heart to give him the truck. It wasn't an expensive truck. It wasn't a fancy truck. It was just a basic truck. But God put it on his heart to give him that truck. And like all of us do, he argued with God about that. But he knew that's what God had convicted his heart to do. So he gave him that truck. Well, God turned around and provided a pretty nice minivan to him after that. And he thought, man, what a blessing. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. Well, he's driving that minivan for a couple of years, and then all of a sudden a local gospel group comes by, and they knock on his door, and they wanted to know if he'd be willing to sell that minivan. Well, he began to pray about that, and sure enough, God laid it on his heart to give that minivan to that gospel group. And, of course, he argues with God again, but he knew that's what God put on his heart to do, so he gave that minivan away. Well, as he continued to go along, God put it on his heart to buy a Trailways bus. And he's like, what do I need with a Trailways bus? I'm not going to use a Trailways bus. What do I need with this? But he knew God had put it on his heart, and God began to provide the resources to ultimately be able to buy, back in the day, a $70,000 bus. Now, that's just a pickup truck. But anyway, back in the day, it was a $70,000 bus. It was a lot of money. He didn't have any idea why he was buying a bus. But then he found out about a ministry who needed a bus to be able to do the ministry that they did, and God led him to donate that bus to give that bus to that ministry. Well, the whole point is, if we'll be obedient to God, we'll see God provide. When God prompts, we need to be willing to give. We need to be willing to be obedient to God. And the more we're willing to be obedient to God, I firmly believe the more God will, pardon the expression, show off. The more we will see God do great things in our life if we'll just be obedient to follow his leadership. Imagine if he had chosen to not invest in what God wanted him to invest in, not do what God wanted him to do, what he would have missed out on in his life. And then for those who challenged by that, to experience that and to hear that and to be challenged by that in our own lives. In this instant everything society that we live in, we tend to see things happen so quickly that we forget how precious a commodity time is. You know, I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about internet and remembering the days of, you know what I'm talking about, dial-up internet, okay? And I can remember literally the first time I tried to download or pull up a website and it had pictures, and I'm like, no, pictures! Because it was going to take forever for those pictures to come up on dial-up internet. For you kids, there was a day. There were hard times. There were dark days. But we're so used to everything happening so quickly now. And when things don't happen quickly, we get frustrated. You know, we want everybody to have the precision of Chick-fil-A with their drive-thru. You know? To get me in and get me out. I don't want to be here forever. Time is a precious commodity. We need to pay attention to how we're investing our time. And since time is so precious, we need to remember that eternity is what matters most. Invest in eternity. Spend time with God. Focus on him. Make time for him. I'm going to say it till I don't have a breath in my body. You must have a personal time with God daily. You will not grow in your faith if you don't. And people, I've said it over and over, people ask me, you know, what's the best time of the day to have it? Have it whenever. But let me say this, give God your best time. If you're a morning person, then give him mornings. Give him some time in the morning. If you're not a morning person, if you know you're in a fog until about 10 o'clock in the day, then it's probably not a good idea to have your quiet time in the morning. I love Stacy Dyer, our associational missionary, but he'll tell you he is not a morning person. Don't call Stacy at 7 o'clock in the morning and expect him to be alert and ready to talk. He will not be. So if you're wired like that and you're not a morning person, whatever time of day makes sense. If you're a night person and that's your best time, have your quiet time at night, but have it. Don't avoid that time. I'll never forget when I was a teenager, way back in the dark ages, just after electricity. Stephen Curtis Chapman had a song on one of these things, kids. It was called a cassette, okay? This is like years ago. It wasn't like on electronics. It wasn't a CD. It was a cassette. But anyway, there was a song on there called Treasure Island, and the whole point of the song was, I'll go sailing out to Treasure Island, the treasure island that God's word can be. You see, God's word is a treasure, and we need to spend time with him, and we need to realize that as we spend time with him, we're investing in eternity. So the first clue is that no investment in earthly treasure will last forever. The second, investing in heaven will store up treasures for eternity. The third clue, clue number three, it takes clear insight to invest properly. Now, a lot of people are afraid to invest in the stock market, and I understand why it can be overwhelming with all that goes on there. But if you're willing to do that, you have to weigh your sort of makeup. Am I willing to invest in things that are risky with the chance of high return? Do I want to be more conservative in how I invest in things that may not have as great an opportunity for return, but I'm going to feel a little more comfortable being a part of? The good news about serving God is that the only risk we have when we serve Him is that we'll alienate the world. The rewards for investing in God and serving God are out of this world. To invest properly, we have to know what to invest ourselves in. If you were planning on investing your money in the stock market, you might go to websites, you might go to trade magazines or things of that sort and look and learn about things and spend some time figuring it out. Or you may simply go to someone else and let someone else take care of that for you. But even with that, you'd want to know their background. You'd want to know their history, that they had a good track record. The great thing about being a Christian is we have full, foolproof investment. Fool, easy for me to say. F-O-O-L, foolproof investment. We can, when we pour into the things of God, we can know there is going to be a great return because He says so. God doesn't go against His promises. If we'll just look to Him and we'll let Him lead us in our lives, we'll reap rewards and benefit that will last for eternity. Jesus' warnings in verses 22 and 23, something we don't need to miss. You see, if we fill our eyes with garbage, then our minds are going to be filled with garbage. But if we fill our eyes with the things of God, then our minds are going to be focused on the right things. Whatsoever things are lovely or pure. Those are the kinds of things we need to invest in. Those are the kinds of things we need to be putting before our eyes. If we pollute our eyes, we're going to pollute our minds. If we fill our eyes with the Word of God and the things of God, then our mind and our heart is going to be more in tune with God. How we spend our time is how we're investing and how we're exposing ourselves to the things of God or not. The parable of the man who built his house on the sand and the man who built his house on the rocks probably best illustrates this idea of investing in the future. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, it says, "Everyone who hears my words and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on rock. It rained hard, the floods came, and the winds blew and hit that house, but it didn't fall because it was built on rock. Everyone who hears my words and does not obey them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. It rained hard, the floods came, and the winds blew and hit that house, and it fell with a big crash." You see, we got to make sure we're investing, that we're building on the right things in life. We can have all sorts of sound advice in this life and still end up losing everything we have, end up with nothing. It doesn't take a whole lot of sense to realize that we need to follow the pattern of the one who gave us life in the first place. We are created in His image. We were created by Him. We're created for Him. We need to follow Him and realize that when we invest in Him, we're storing up for eternity where things will last. Have you given much thought about how you're investing your time and your life? Stop and take a look at how you're spending your time. Are you giving God quality time? Of the things that you're placing before your eyes, are those things helping you grow in God? Or are they robbing you of the things of God? Be careful. Pay attention. So the first clue that we see here is no investment in earthly treasure will last forever. The second is investing in heaven will store up treasures for eternity. And the third clue is that it takes clear insight to invest properly. The fourth clue, or clue number four, you must know who to invest with. If you were choosing someone to invest for you in the market, you'd want to know their track record. You'd want to make sure they were solid, that they were doing things that made sense, and that they had a good history. If you want to invest in the kingdom of God for the future financially, please talk to me. We have the Georgia Baptist Foundation who invests wisely, who does things that store up finances that the work of God can continue even after your life. Consider, pray about tithing off of your estate. Now you say, preacher, I don't have an estate. That's a funny word. I ain't got much money. Doesn't matter if your estate is $5,000 or if it's $5 million. It doesn't matter. You can still tithe off of it and invest in the kingdom of God. And through the Georgia Baptist Foundation, we're able to make sure that in years ahead, ministry can continue. Now, obviously not infinitely, because the Lord's going to return. But should the Lord tarry, you can invest in the future. But knowing who you're investing with is so important. You would want to know your investor. And as I said before, you'd want to know your own comfort level about investing. But when it comes to investing our lives and our time, we face a real dilemma. You see, we think we know what's best. But only God does. We need to realize that God has the best for us. You can't serve two masters. You will either serve the things of this world or you'll serve the things of God. There's no middle road. One will always be the victor over the other. You will always have more allegiance to one over the other. God knows what's best for us and wants the best for us. So we have to learn to let Him have control of our lives. But you have to make the choice on a moment-to-moment basis to either look to the wisdom of God or to count on your finite wisdom, and that's not wisdom at all. I remember watching this movie once when I was much younger about a little girl who, through circumstances, had gotten separated from her family somehow. She ended up in this other family, and they raised her as though she was their own and loved her But as she got older, they told her the story of what had happened to her. And as things happened, her family that had gotten separated from her somehow, and I don't remember all the details, but they were searching for her all this time. And something happened that they actually found out where she was, and they came to meet her. And of course, they wanted her to come and live with them, and she got to know them, and she was faced with a real dilemma about where her allegiance would be. But you see, that family that had raised her and had been her parents all her life, they held her allegiance because they were the ones she knew as her family. The world is going to constantly battle with us for our allegiance. We need to remember that we were created in God's image. We belong to Him. He paid the price for us. And when the world fights for our allegiance, we need to make sure we align ourselves with God, that we give ourselves to Him. You may think that you can play with the world and then do the things of God, but the truth is you can't serve God in money. You can't serve God in mammon. You can't serve God and the things of this world. One or the other will win out. Be sure you're choosing God. The world is fleeting and this life is going to pass and everything about this world is going to decay. It's going to fade away. There is a clock ticking. I don't know when it's going to quit ticking as far as time as we know it is concerned, but I know it will. There's going to come a day. If you were here with me at all through the Revelation, you know that I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. And if you want to be right, you will too. But anyway, you can stay here into the tribulation. That's fine. I don't mind. It's up to you, but I'm kidding, of course. But the reality is, I believe there's coming a day when the last one's going to be saved before the rapture happens, and God's going to call us out. But I also believe there'll be those who are saved during the tribulation. I don't know when that time's going to come, but I certainly believe that the way things are going in this world around us, we're living in the last days. Whether the last days is 10 weeks or 10 years or 10 decades, I don't know. That's in God's hands. But we need to be living like it could happen anytime. And see, here's the other side of that. It may not be that the Lord returns before He calls us home. Are you storing up things in heaven for eternity? That's where our focus should be. Now, balance that with, as D.L. Moody said years ago, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. God has tasks for us in this life, things we need to be about in this life, but we need to be storing up treasures in heaven. So I ask you today, how are you investing? I'm not talking about your finances. I'm talking about your life. How are you investing? Christian, I pray that daily you're investing in the things of God. You're pouring your life out so that God might fill you up, so that you might reach people with the gospel of Christ, that you might minister others in the name of Christ, because in doing so, you're storing up treasures in heaven. And listen, we don't do those things because, oh, I want to have a big stockpile in heaven. We do those things because we love God, because it glorifies Him. But I can't help but to think, in a room with this many people, there's somebody here today that's never invested in the things of God. And the reason you've never invested in the things of God, because you've never come to a place where you've admitted the fact that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. See, I'm not saying anything unkind about you. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says about all of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. There was a time in my life when I was 6 years old, when I was old enough to understand that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And I knelt beside my parents' bed and I asked God's forgiveness and I invited Jesus into my life. He's been there all along. He's never let me down. I've let Him down a lot, but He's never let me down. Invest your life in Him. Don't keep wasting your life on the things of this world. Ask His forgiveness today and invite Him into your life. You will not regret it. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not telling you life's going to get easy, because we have an enemy too. An enemy is Satan, and he's very real. He doesn't have a pitchfork and a red tail and all that kind of nonsense. He is very real. And he'll try to fight you. He's probably fighting you right now, trying to keep you from giving your life to Christ. Don't listen to him. He's a liar. He wants to destroy you. Christian, I pray that for each of us, we're seeking daily to glorify God. And if you realize you haven't been glorifying God lately, the good news is He forgives. And He renews and He restores. His mercy's new every day. So ask Him to help you glorify Him in all you do. Whatever concern, whatever need you have right now, give it to God. Maybe you need to just come and kneel at this altar and lay that need at God's feet. Say, God, I can't carry it anymore, but I know you can. He's big enough. He can handle it. Trust it to Him right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for amazing grace. We thank You for Your love for us, God, and I thank You for this reminder from the Sermon on the Mount of the fact that we need to be careful about how we invest our lives, how we invest our time. God, help us to invest in things that matter to You, things that impact eternity. For us as believers, Lord, help us not to get distracted by the things of this world, but instead to look to You and trust You. God, forgive me when I allow the stuff of this world to become consuming, and I forget that it really all belongs to You in the first place. God, for anyone here who doesn't know You as Savior, I pray right now that ask Your forgiveness. Right now, they place their faith in You. Lord, whatever burdens or concerns are here today, I pray we'd have the wisdom to trust those to You as well. We give You this invitation time and ask You to have Your way in our hearts and lives. It's in Your precious name we pray these things. Amen.